We have three readings this morning, and the first is in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and that's page 5 in the church Bibles. In the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Our second reading is from the book of Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And that's on page 1063 for anybody following it in the Bibles. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And then our final reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 20, and that's on page 1176. For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much, Ted, for those readings. So you got three readings today, very Anglican. And I just thought it would help us today as I introduce the topic of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Spirit. And thank you, Mandy, for your beautiful prayers. Just an update on that. Actually, hot off the press, St. Barbara's have found a new venue to take them up, hopefully, to when the church is refurbished in just under 2 years' time. And it's Portersbury School in Deepcut, so we can thank God for that. And their last Sunday is in Mindenhurst School today, and then next week they will start in Portersbury School. So continue to have that church in your prayers as they prepare for that move. Now, I want to start with a story, another story of finding a home. Apologies if you once heard this, maybe 7 years ago, but frankly, if you could remember something I said 7 years ago, I'd be delighted. If you could remember something I said 7 days ago, I'd be delighted. And this was back 18 years ago. It happened. I was in Uganda. I was helping with other students at Theological College to run a conference. And actually, it was on 1 Corinthians. So there we go. That was the last time I taught on 1 Corinthians before this term. And on the Sunday, in the middle of this conference, I'd seen an advert in the village centre for showing Chelsea v Arsenal on television. And I was missing football. It was the first day of the English football season in August. And I decided, no one else wanted to go with me, but I decided to go and watch this match. So I went to this little village, followed the sign, took me to a little hut. And I went in there and discovered about 150 14-year-old boys. And me, watching this match. And they actually got a special seat for me, which was not necessary, but there we go. I sat on this seat, watched the match, and really enjoyed that. And then the match finished, and what I had failed to anticipate was that by the time the match finished, it would be dark. I had no torch, and I had to find my way back to the guest house where I was staying. And there were no street lights there. And within about 10 seconds of the match finishing, 149 of the 150 people had disappeared. And they apparently could see in the dark, but I could not. And I got hopelessly lost. I walked into walls. I fell down ditches. I walked into bushes. And frankly, I couldn't really work out even what direction to go in, and it got very, very scary indeed. After about half an hour, I tried to find my way home. Every building I'd gone up to was not the right one, and I was getting increasingly terrified. And at this moment, I realized I was in danger, and there was no one around. And I got on my knees, and I prayed, God, please help me. And literally, 5 or 10 seconds later, I heard a voice say, Tom. And a torch was turned on. And there was a lady who was the cook in the guest house Monday to Friday, who on a Sunday afternoon had remembered she'd left something there and was going back to get it. And she led me home to where I was staying. Within 10 seconds of me praying that prayer. Now, I tell you that story because God brings light into darkness. And that light is what we all truly need. That was literally true for me then, but it's spiritually true for us all of the time, indeed for the whole world. And so that's why we had the readings that we had. We're thinking about light in the darkness. And that's the metaphor I want you to take with you today, and that I'm going to unpack, that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring light in the darkness. And the command that we're given was there in that final passage, be filled with the Spirit, which is the way in which that light can fully radiate in us and through us to the world. So I'm going to talk about darkness. That's the first part. And then I'm going to talk about light and what living in the light and being filled with the Spirit really means. But first, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you bring light in the darkness. Help us to understand today what that looks like, how that is the purpose of your Spirit, that we might fully embrace it through being filled with your Spirit afresh. Amen. Oh, okay. There we go. Normally I meant to stand there, but there we go. I'm moving into the centre from the left. That will please some of you politically. I see Jan with a big grin on her face. There we go. Right. Is that all right? All good? You can see me? Can you hear me? If you want to hear me? Good. Okay, right, on with the sermon. And so, light, as you've seen, is a thoroughly biblical theme. We heard from the very beginning of the Bible that God's creative work through the agency of the Holy Spirit started by bringing light into darkness. And the one introduction to the mission of Jesus that the Gospels give us in John said the same thing. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And then the final passage, my main focus today, made that same point. The command to be filled with the Spirit is there as its climax. But the purpose, the rest of the passage tells us, is that we would bring light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. So let's start with darkness then, the vital context in which the true blessing and the true need of light can be seen. But darkness, sadly, I think we have to say, is our natural condition. It's why our passage from John 1 goes on to say he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And it's why Jesus himself, recorded later in John, said this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Darkness is life without God because it's life on our terms, in which we call the shots. We're not accountable and no one tells us what to do. Now, put like that, it sounds tempting and desirable. It's certainly the spirit of our age. But the consequence of that spiritual darkness is anything but desirable in reality, in terms of the impact it has. For it leaves us scared and alone, as I felt on that experience in Uganda. It leaves us directionless, not knowing where we're heading, ditto. And ultimately, it leaves us hugely vulnerable as well. If we think Satan will take care of us, we're completely deluded. His goal, his ultimate goal, is our destruction. And the journey towards it starts when we cut God out of our lives. Think back to the times that you felt distant from God, estranged from him, with no real connection to him. And you'll remember how that feels. And then remember those moments of reconnection. Or that first realization that there is a God. That he loves you. That he gave everything for you. That joy and excitement, that awe and wonder. That there is something greater than ourselves. A higher purpose. A higher power. He's the God who made the world. The universe in all its splendor and majesty. And yet he's a God who loves us completely, individually, intimately, shown in the loving work of Jesus on the cross. It's what Alpha explores and unpacks. And if you know you need to understand this better, if you know you're not a Christian yet, or you know that you want to rebuild the foundations of your faith, sign up for Alpha. Talk to me afterwards and discover that wonderful life-transforming news for yourself. And begin that journey of walking together with your Heavenly Father with all the peace and the blessing it brings. Yeah, that's not the end of the story. When we hear and respond to the message and become a Christian, for the struggle between darkness and light goes on. We've switched our allegiance, as the passage told us. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And yet it continued. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. He tells them to live as children of the light because it doesn't happen automatically. The reality is, as Christians, we face opposition. Our world is not spiritually neutral, and we have an enemy who is living and active. as the next chapter of Ephesians will tell us, for you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, and the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Powers and forces of darkness that seek every day to intrude into our lives. That's why Christians should be and are generally acutely aware of this as a present reality, being confronted by its consequences in others, or finding ourselves drawn back into it as Satan desperately targets and attacks our joy and our freedom, so often without us even realizing he's at work. So what might that look like? Well, it's a chipping away at our confidence. That little voice that's not from God telling us he isn't really faithful. We're not really forgiven or capable of living for him. Chipping away at our commitment and discipline. Saying, do you really need to read the Bible or pray? Do you really need that support or fellowship that church can bring? And chipping away at our sense of calling. Saying, can God really use you? Does he really have a plan for your life? And before we know it, the joy has gone. The peace has gone. The clarity of what we're living for has gone. And you can be sure that any inspirational impact on others has long gone as well. Are you living in the light today? Are you fully absorbing that sunlight, embracing that goodness, clarity, and spiritual vibrancy it brings? We've got a sunny day today, hopefully. As you enjoy it later, ask yourself this. Are you fully embracing and enjoying God's presence and going out into that light? Or are you there in the spiritual shadows, keeping your distance, clinging to your control and your independence, which is leaving you spiritually a pale shadow of your former self? Now, you may not feel like you're hiding or holding back. But to know if you are, just compare yourself to some people that you know who you are confident are embracing that sunlight, basking in the Spirit's presence, who have that spring in their step, that radiance and that passion and assurance it brings. And I think you'll realize if you've lost it, if it's not there by contrast in you. And retreating, withdrawing, holding back can happen so easily without us realizing or consciously choosing it. But when apathy sets in, when negativity and cynicism sets in, when we find ourselves more conscious of our frustration with others than we are with our gratitude to God, well, we know that it started to affect us. It's where Satan wants us. Ineffective, anxious, demotivated, disempowered, posing him and his kingdom of darkness no threat. But if that's where you're at, don't panic. Don't beat yourself up. Jesus said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So allow his saving work to be at work in you again. Saving you from your lesser self, from the life you don't want, and embracing the life you were made for, and the life that he longs for you once more. Come into the light, knowing you're safe in his presence, and knowing it's where life truly satisfies, where it truly makes sense. So that's the first half of the sermon, understanding the darkness and being honest with ourselves. Now, the second half is the antidote, the better way, being filled with the Spirit and living in the light with all the blessings and impact it brings. And so what does our Ephesians passage tell us about doing it? Well, in explaining it, Paul mixes his metaphors. But as our knowledge of biology tells us, the metaphors he mixes are clearly linked. So he writes, live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, For sunlight allows plant life to flourish. We know that, don't we? And so what are described as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians are the fruit of the light here. Just three are mentioned explicitly: goodness, righteousness, and truth. But they represent, I believe, the whole of them, covering our moral behavior, the devotion of our relationship with God, and our knowledge and understanding of his will as well. In other words, what we do, for whom we do it, and why we do it. Recognizing that holiness and being filled with the Spirit is a joint work of body, soul, and mind. And that combination of awareness of what is right and our authenticity in living it out has the most profound impact. When we find out what pleases the Lord, as the passage urged us, combined with the passion and discipline to put it into practice, it's unmissable. Everyone will notice. And by definition, it casts a spiritual searchlight on everyone else. It happens quite naturally as people compare themselves with us, as we a moment ago compared ourselves with others. And it exposes the spiritual emptiness or anxiety which they may well recognize in themselves. Paul continues, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. That's why it's said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Which happens not by us criticizing others, pointing out the error of their ways. That doesn't work. We don't want to do it. They don't want to hear it. But it comes through simply allowing God to be at work in us, allowing his light to shine brightly all around. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And the fact is that quite often that is what happens. People see God's goodness and love in us, and they turn back to him. So let the light shine brightly in you, and do everything to let the world see. And yet there's also an intentionality and an attention to detail in all this as well, reflected in what's left of the passage. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. This is about thinking what we're doing, asking questions like, what would Jesus do in this situation? What light does the Bible shed on what I should do? What is the impact of my words or my actions on others or ourselves? And have I asked for wisdom and insight from God and the prompting of his Spirit? And if so, what is he saying? That's what being careful how we live is about. And the passage continues, make the most of every opportunity, which for me is about being proactive, not simply responding to the situations that demand a response, but prayerfully asking God to reveal the opportunities he's given us and choosing to take them. And then the passage finishes with that comparison of being drunk and filled with the Spirit. It's an interesting and famous one. I was reflecting on it. I guess what they share in common is a desire to be ourselves, uninhibited and free, and enjoy the experience. But the similarities end there. Whereas one seeks to do it by dulling our sensitivities, the other seeks to do it by making us more sensitive to God. One produces action and words we regret. The other produces actions and words that we and others will rejoice in because God has been at work. Just as drunkenness can be egged on by others, so to remain filled with the Spirit, we need the reinforcement and encouragement of others by meeting together in worship in life groups, prayer triplets and the like. If you think you can be filled with the Spirit and stay filled with the Spirit and live in the light in isolation, you're kidding yourself. Just like coals in the fire, we need to stay in the fire. Otherwise, we will quickly darken and cool. But ultimately, being filled with the Spirit, living in the light, and staying filled is a sovereign act of our Heavenly Father, who chooses to fill us when we invite Him to fill us, just as any earthly father gives his children good things. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Jesus said, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him? Yes, this is true of salvation when we invite him in for the first time. But it's also meant to be normative, that we would go on being saved, renewed, and filled. That's the purpose of the Spirit. He was there at the beginning, bringing light into darkness in creation. He was there in Jesus, the true light, bringing hope and peace to the lost. And he longs to be there in us, shining in our darkness, that we might bring light to the world. Amen. Well, we're going to be led.